So, yeah, we are on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Again, let's just do a quick review of where we're up to. We had the Mishnah Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether the Zrika helped when the, as we just learned yesterday, when the meat goes out, not when the blood goes out, to what effect it has on Me'ilah and other things. And again, Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that it actually can affect something. It can take it out of Me'ilah by Kachim Kadashim, it can bring it into Me'ilah by Kachim Kalim. Rabbi Eliezer was a little bit more skeptical, and we were discussing their opinions back and forth, proofs, not proofs. In particular, yesterday we were talking about Rabbi Yochanan's statement that Rabbi Akiva only said what he said, that the Zriga helps if it was Yatza Miktsaso, if only part of it went out, but if the entire thing went out, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that the Zriga is ineffective. Then there was a whole back and forth with Rabbi Asi and then Rabbi Zira and trying to figure out exactly what is the status in all these cases. But ultimately, coming to the conclusion at the end of the day, if you see if it was in fact completely out, if it was in fact completely out and it was in fact completely gone, we uphold that, if I'm not mistaken. I'm a little bit lost my spot here, but I believe that was the conclusion, because we ended up stopping the question that was asked, even though we seemed to have a good question from Avod and Saruf. Okay, even though we seemed to have a good question about Avod and Saruf, we ended up saying that's ala omed li'ibud and omed li'saruf, again, which was destined for that to happen, but did not happen yet, but true loss, true leaving the courtyard, would in fact result in everyone agreeing that the Zrika is ineffective in that case. We then have Papa say just what I mentioned right now, that this is only talking about the meat of the korban, but not the blood. Okay, and then we had Rabbi Akiva, so we just quoted Rabbi Akiva. Let's go back up a couple lines, even though we said this at the end of yesterday. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so we're about between halfway and two-thirds of the way down, maybe 15-ish lines from the bottom, a little bit less. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Halamazadome. Okay, Rabbi Akiva brought this comparison to the whole thing with the two chatos, and one got lost, and he took the other one back, he slaughtered them both, and his point was that if one chatas can have an ability to exempt another chatas's meat from Me'ilah, for sure, in the case where this korban just left the courtyard, big deal, it can for sure exempt it from Me'ilah, it's exactly the same case, if not a kal vachomer. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, okay, so again, everyone see where we are. We're right after the Gimel and the Bach. Am Rabbi Lazar ki am Rabbi Akiva bevas achas. When did Rabbi Akiva state his halacha if both of them were slaughtered at the exact same time? Aval bezachar ze, but if they were slaughtered one after the other, lo amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would not have said his halacha. He would agree that in that case, in the case of the chataos, presumably Rabbi Akiva would say that no, it doesn't apply, right? Right? Because, as Rashi says, as soon as you slaughtered the first one, the second one immediately becomes Moser Chatas, and the Zrika can't do anything. It's only when they're both slaughtered simultaneously that the Zrika has the ability to do so. Welcome, Frank. So we are just in the Gemara. We're up to Tanya, where we got up to at the end of yesterday, some 10 lines up, 11, 12, whatever it is, from the bottom. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon on Zayin Amud Aleph. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon. Learned in a Brisa. Rabbi Shimon says, "Kshalachti l'kfar pani." When I went to Kfar Pani, matzasi zakein echad. I found this elder. The Amarli.
In other words, Mitzahani. The elder who found him.
Oh, sorry. I misread that. Mitzahani zakein echad. An old guy found me. Amarli, and he said to me, "He says, oh, you're coming from wherever Rabbi Akiva was." Amarli, Omer hayar Rabbi Akiva zrikam welas liyotze. And he said to me, did Rabbi Akiva say that Zrika helps for something which is left? Amarti lohein. I told him, yeah, sure. Och shebasi v'yirtzeisi devarim lefnei chaveirai shebegalil. And when I brought it back, and I said this to my friends in the Galil, Amruli, they said to me, halo pasal hu. Heich miratza al ha-pasal. They were very bothered by this. Just one second. If something leaves the courtyard, it's pasal. How can that now have an effective Zrika? Heich miratza al ha-pasal. How can you have an effective Zrika in that case? Well, it doesn't make any sense what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Okay. So what did he do? Like a good Talmud. Brings the Shiloh back to his Rebbe. So then I went back to Rabbi Akiva and said, hey, you know, This stuff's bothering people. Nobody understands what your logic is. Amar li, he said to me, Bini, my son, Iata omer kein. Don't you agree with me? Nice way to put him on the spot. Don't you agree with me? And why? Here's his proof. V'areya mafrish chataso ve'avda. And then he goes through the whole proof. He says, she had a chatas, and it got lost. V'vjachar estachtea, and you set aside another one. V'akach nemtzei sarishona, then the first one is found. V'areishtein omdos, and they're both alive. The halacha is, everyone would agree, ma'alin b'shtehen. There's meal on both. Okay, they both have some form of kedusha. Shchatan, v'arei daman munach bekosos, ma'alin b'shtehen. If you slaughtered them both, and their blood is sitting in a cup, hasn't been sprinkled yet. Okay, two cups, yes. I was saying each one was in a cup. That wasn't dafka. Ushchatan, arei daman munach bekosos, sitting in cups. And again, still, ma'alin b'shtehen. There's still meal in that case. Now here's the kicker. Right, and this is Rabbi Akiva's proof. Nizrak dam shel echad mehem. If the blood of one of them, okay, was sprinkled, which would, as Rashi notes in the first line over here, nifsila hashniya b'mosar chatas. Okay, so now at this point, the other one becomes pasul. I'atamodeh. Do you not admit shekeshem shedama poteres b'sara min hami'ila af yiftor b'sar chaverta min hami'ila? Just as it saves its own meat from Mi'ila, should it not save the meat of the other Chatas from Mi'ila as well? Meaning, he's saying, I think everybody agrees that both of them will now be no longer Mi'ila. So therefore, af yiftor b'sar chaverta min ha-Mi'ila, im hitzil b'sar chaverta min ha-Mi'ila, af al pishu pasol din hu shiatzil as b'sara. So he says, so too in our case, going back to the case of when it left, okay? If by the case of Chatas, it can save Bisar Chaverta, it can save the other one, even though it's Pasul, don't you think here in our case, it can save the one which left its own Basar from Me'ila? It's a very similar case. It's a very similar case.
So the key here is that it's simultaneous.
Correct. If it wasn't simultaneous, then you wouldn't be able to say it's like one thing.
That's my argument.
Yes.
Right. So I'm going to go off on a tangent for a minute. So when the Torah says that you bring shtei porim or shtei shorim,
right,
does that mean that they're slaughtered simultaneously?
No.
I agree with you, because otherwise there'd be problems every day.
Yeah, you don't have to slaughter simultaneously. It's only here when we want them to have one, and exactly, when there's a replacement, then one is going to have an effect on the other.
Yeah.
Right. The point is that here, because they were slaughtered simultaneously, we're almost viewing them more like one animal. That's Rabbi Akiva's whole point, to say that just like these two are like kind of, you know, brothers almost, and they're being slaughtered together, and the zrika of one will exempt the other one.
Makes sense.
So it makes sense that in my case, where it's the same animal, that you should say just because it left, doesn't matter, the zrika exempts the meat from Me'ila.
Yeah.
All good? This is basically just a recap of Rabbi Akiva's response. Okay? So again, right, imhitzel basar chaverta min ha-Mi'ila, afal pishu pasol dinu shi'atzel s'besara. Amarei Shlakish. Shlakish makes what I would imagine to be an uncharacteristic statement. Mishum Rav Oshia, in the name of Rav Oshia, tshuva genuva heshivo Rabbi Akiva lo so Talmud. Rabbi Akiva gave him a stolen response. Or basically, it's not a good answer.
He didn't say plagiarize somebody else.
Right. No, that's not what it means over here. It means basically it's a very, very weak, not that the response was stolen from someone else, but that it's like doing almost gnevas das to the Talmud. Because it's an improper proof, it's
right hand behind your left ear.
Sure,
right?
If that's
and even an answer. It's not a proper answer.
It's not a proper answer, and it's tricking the Talmud, sort of, right? Meaning That's what Rav Oshi, it's misleading.
That's
the best word. Correct. Heshiva Rukiva Losa Talmud. Bevas achas in bezeachar zelo. Because it's only true in that case if they were slaughtered bevas achas, but not bezeachar ze. Not if they were slaughtered one after the other. It's given the puzzle who, mali bevas achas, mali bezeachar ze. And he says, 1 second. But if it's in fact true that again, what was the objection? What was the question? How can the zrika of a puzzle go and exempt the zrika of a kasher? He says, then mali bevas achas, mali bezeachar zeh. Right? Why should it matter what order it's in, right? And take a look in Rashi, right? Mali bevasa achas, mali bezecher. They're right across it in the Gemara, right across from Tshuva Gnuva. Ho elu svir leil Rabbi Akiva. D'dama pater b'sar chaverta. Af algav depasol mishum osar chatas. Okay? Since Rabbi Akiva holds that the blood of one chatas can exempt the other one from me'ila, despite it being pasul because of mosar chatas, ki hechi dechashavta lehu kiguf echad. Okay? Right, b'shechatan bevas achas. I'm reading on the side here. There's an edit. Just as you consider them as one body when you slaughtered them both at the same time. Nami b'zachar zeh tehedam ar pater eshel chaverta. So why does it have to be bevas achas? The same halacha should apply whether it's bevas achas or not. If Rabbi Akiva says it works, even though there's a psul there. So why does it matter they slaughtered them at the same time? That's why he says, Alavarai tshuva ginuva hi deloshna. Okay, Rashi has a way of reading this. The way Rashi reads this is that Reish Lakish is essentially arguing that in all cases it shouldn't make a difference. Halacha should be the same. Okay? As opposed to saying that there is a difference and therefore it's wrong. He's saying it's wrong because there isn't a difference. It changes things a little bit. You can read in the previous Rashi, you can read it in the next Rashi. Rashi really has this going on. Yeah. Rashi really has this going on something else, but okay. The bottom line is, Reish Lakish says in the name of Oshia, this is a improper tshuva, and ultimately says it's very hard to figure out why we should differentiate, in this case, between a bas achas, according to Rabbi Akiva, and a zeachar zeh, according to Rabbi Akiva, whether it was slaughtered simultaneously or not. Yes?
What does this mean by the term mutar chatas?
Mutar chatas means the extra one. No, extra.
Extra, okay.
That's why it's pasul here. Yeah. Pasul because it's...
I misread the word.
Ah, okay. I thought I just wanted to explain, sorry.
No. Yes. I misread the word.
It happens to all of us. Every day, in fact. Okay. So this was the question of, essentially, Reish Lakish on Rabbi Akiva's answer to this Talmud, which, again, a little bit strange for an Amora to be criticizing a Tana so harshly, but okay. Amar le'Rabbi Yochanan le'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, Ve'ata i'ata omer kein. Same language as in the Braisa. Rabbi Yochanan's giving Reish Lakish a bit of rebuke here, clearly, as his... Rebbe, Chaver, whatever the case was over here. And he says, do you not agree? Do you not also say the same thing? Why? And he gives him the following case. Ilu hifrishte ashamos la'achrayas. And Rashi, this could have been Shechatos also, but if you set aside two ashamos, okay, meaning, and what does la'achrayas mean? That if one of them gets lost, I'm going to use the other one.
That's a guilt offering, not a chatat.
Correct. Barach says he could have used chatas.
Yeah.
He says it doesn't really matter. Oh. The point is, it's even true about a guilt offering about an asham. Okay? So, ilu hifrishte ashamos lachrayas. You had two, and you said, you know, if this one doesn't work out for whatever reason, I'm going to bring the other one. Fishachal eshnean. And you slaughtered them both. Vekadam vehela emurin shel echad mehen, kodam zrika. And before you sprinkled the blood, you brought up the limbs of one of them to be burnt. Iyata modeshim alu yerdu. Do you not agree that if they went up on this biach, you got to take them down? You haven't done zrika yet, right? Okay. And here, by the way, you're doing. He says it's the zrika of the other one. Okay. Let's just be very clear. We're talking about an analogous case to the Rabbi Akiva case. Okay. Where again, you had just like in a Rabbi Akiva case, you have two chatasis. And everything was done simultaneously. Well, again, that's the part that we're discussing here, whether it needs to be simultaneous or not. But, and then you sprinkled the blood of one of them, it exempts the other from me'ila, right? That's what we're talking about. So to over here, you brought up the emurin, okay, which is the limbs that need to be burnt, to the mizbeach. The halacha, he says, would obviously be that you need to take them off the mizbeach. And this is before you did zrika on the other one. Okay, again, we're talking about zrika on the other one over here in order to have it, right?
Wouldn't that be pikul though?
No, pikul is when you think that you're gonna.
He's putting it in the wrong order.
So, doing something wrong puzzles the korban. Pigul is only when you specifically think about chutz l'zman or chutz l'mkomo in terms of the consumption. So it's definitely going to be pasul. But what happens is, again, you brought up the emurim, and then you sprinkled the blood from the other one. So again, you have two ashams. You slaughtered them both. Again, we're not clear at exactly when you slaughtered them relative to each other. And again, that's really the focal point, which we're going to discuss right now. But you slaughter them both. You then have Asham 1 and Asham 2. Asham 1, you take the Emurin, you put them on the Mizbech. Out of order. Mm-hmm. Not good.
So you haven't done Zerika on Asham 1?
Haven't done.
On either?
Either one.
Doesn't seem you've done Zerika on either. Then you do Zerika on Asham 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
Now, he says to him, Yata Moda, let me just find my spot. Bata, Yata Omerke, right? Ilu Hifrishte, Ashamas, Lachrais, Vishachat, Shneve, Kadamahela, Emurin, Shalachamahan, Kodan Zerika, Yata Moda, Shim, Alu Yerdu. Wouldn't you say you still have to take those emurin off the mizbeach? V'salka daita chad gufahu. And if you're going to tell me it's all one body, Mr. Reish Lakish, you just said, again, in this case, it's all one body, he says to him, amayim alu yerdu. Why should they come down? Amar ula imurei kachim kalim shehelan lifnei zrikas dam lo yerdu. Nasa lachmo shel mizbeach. When you have it with one korban, Abaye is very, very clear that if you put it up before Zerika, don't take them down. Why? Because it becomes Lach Moshe Mizbeach. So you were willing to admit to me. Feel good, Frank.
Okay.
You were willing to admit to me one moment ago that of course you take it off the Mizbeach, because it's inconceivable even to you that these are in fact Guf Echad, that these are in fact one, considered like one Korban, Chad Gufa. But if you really held by that logic, if you really followed that logic, just like Rabbi Akiva follows that logic, right? You're doing the same thing as Rabbi Akiva, essentially, over here. Why shouldn't you take it off? And in fact,
because you're dead.
What's the translation of lachmo?
It's bread.
Yeah,
it's become the bread of the Mizbeach.
It belongs to the Mizbeach.
It belongs to
the because it's going to be turned down there.
And
so that's the argument that if it's one type of sacrifice, even though it's two animals, then it should be okay. That's what the argument is. It should be okay.
Right. So correct. He's saying according to Rabbi Akiva's logic, meaning, and Reish Lakish is further. Again, this is the way Rashi says. It's a little bit hard to understand in certain ways, but Rashi is essentially saying that Reish Lakish says that Reish Lakish is. I'll say it the way I believe Rashi is actually going. I believe Rashi explains that Reish Lakish's issue with Rabbi Akiva, first of all, I'm not even sure he had the part that is about Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a tshuva gnuva. Not sure. Maybe he did have it about Rabbi Akiva, but his main point was the issue that we stated earlier in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva only says it when you slaughter them together. That's really his issue, according to Rashi. Yeah. According to Rashi, Reish Lakish says it shouldn't make a difference, and in both cases, whether you slaughter it together or not, the halacha should be the same. They're always chad gufa. That's the way Rashi is understanding it. Therefore, over here he says, again, it's really not so much of a question on Rabbi Akiva, because you can read Rabbi Akiva in that way, but it's a little bit hard. This is the way I understood Rashi. Again, maybe there's another way to read Rashi. Therefore, according to Rashi, the question is as follows. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan is telling Reish Lakish, if you tell me that they're always chad gufa, even if you slaughter them one after the other, so why over here would you need to take it off the Mizbeach? Any time you slaughter, even one after the other, you should not need to take it off. Right? That's what Rashi says over here. Again, I wouldn't necessarily have understood Reish Lakish that way. It could have been Reish Lakish was saying that, no, the proof from... maybe. Actually, I don't know. I am trying to think of how I understood it otherwise. I think I understood it otherwise as Reish Lakish was criticizing Rabbi Akiva and saying that it's not the same. Maybe he disagrees with the premise. I don't know. But the bottom line is, according to Rashi, very straightforward. Reish Lakish says it's always the same no matter whether you slaughtered at the same time or at two different times. And therefore, over here, Rabbi Yochanan has challenged Reish Lakish and essentially, as we're going to see, stumped Reish Lakish to tell him that, no, if you really, really held Bezach Arzeh, that it's also chad gufa, you would have a different halacha in this case, and you're wrong. Okay? Ishtik. And Reish Lakish was quiet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, katzatztinun liraglohi diyanuka. I've cut off the child's legs. Basically, it's a diss. He's insulting Reish Lakish back. Ultimately, what?
He's doing a victory lap.
Yeah, I mean, it's an educational moment, not in the way we educate nowadays. But he's saying, Ishtik was Reish Lakish was quiet. He didn't have an answer. Yeah. He was stumped, basically. And Rabbi Yochanan said to him, look, I've cut off this little kid's legs. Meaning to say, you're running around talking about how you're better than Rabbi Akiva over here. I cut you down to size. Really, you're just a little kid. And all these legs that you're, look at me, how tall I am. No, you have no legs. That's the imagery there. I don't think he's trying to be particular. Exactly. I don't think...
Rabbi Yochanan referred to Reish Lakish as the child because Reish Lakish was younger than him.
Yeah, I mean, that could be. I think that's all. I think that we also see that in Rashi. Yeah, and Rashi says that, right? Right? Reish Lakish kari yanuka lefishaya bachor mimenu. Right?
Reish Lakish was older. She puts it the other way. See, Reish Lakish was older as opposed to, younger. Yeah. Right.
Okay, go back.
Yeah, I'm just seeing over here something. Okay. So
in Rabbi Akiva's example,
go ahead.
In Rabbi Akiva's example,
okay,
what this has bothered me, that the premise that the chatas, both of them were slaughtered together, why would that even occur? Because I thought one was...
They shouldn't be. No, this is not meant to happen. This is not meant to happen. If it happens, yeah. Exactly. It's definitely not meant to happen. It's not a great idea. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at the next Mishnah. Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to finish the parak and call it a day, although what time? We have, 6 minutes, 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do the Mishnah, then we'll finish the parak next week. Yesh ma'ase damim b'kadshei kadashim l'hakel l'achmir b'kadshim kalim kulu l'achmir. Acts of blood. Actions of blood, okay, which we're going to talk about sprinklings, basically, in Kadshei Kadashim can add leniency and can add stringency. Over Kadshim Kalim, kulu lahachmir. But when it comes to Kadshim Kalim, they're always machmir. Okay, we're going to see what this means. We haven't focused really on different parts of the korban until now. Mm-hmm. Until now, we've just been saying Kadshim Kalim as one din and Kadshei Kadashim as one din because we're referring to the main meat of the korban. But let's see how it goes. Okay, Ketzad, Kadshei Kadashim. Lifnei zrikas damim. So let's think. Regular kadshei kadashim. Before you sprinkle the blood, moalin be'im urehen uvivasar. Okay, kadshei kadashim, before obviously you sprinkle it, can you eat any of it? Any of it accessible to anybody? No, obviously asar. La'achar zrikas damim. But after you sprinkle the blood, then the imurin, moalin be'im urehen, remain the same. What? Because the imurin go on the mizbeach. They're still inedible by anybody else. However, ve'in mo'alin bebasar, the basar now becomes, in certain cases, edible to other people, kohanim, whatever the case was. Okay.
Because once they sprinkle the blood,
then it becomes
edible.
Correct. Then it's then you've reached the stage of the korban.
It's not God's anymore.
Okay, exactly. It's not God's. And again, this seems to be, again, very very clearly in line with the opinion of heter achila. Okay. Ve'alze ve'alze chayev mishum pigal noser v'tame, and the sprinkling does not in any way stop them from having pigol noser and tummy. So nimtza ma'aseh damim b'kadshei kadashim l'hakel u'l'achmir. So you see, in some ways, it's mekel and it's achmir. I should say, v'alzeh v'alzeh chayev mishum pigol noser v'tame, you would be chayev if that happened from that stage and on. Okay, nimtza ma'aseh damim b'kadshei kadashim l'hakel u'l'achmir. And so it turns out that, again, it has stringencies, it has leniencies. The main leniency that we've said is, again, the meat that becomes edible removed from pigle, otherwise really everything remains stringent. When it comes to kachim kalim, however, everything gets worse, so to say. Kachim kalim beforehand, again, are really the bilim's animal, so to say. So there's no me'ila before you sprinkle it, basically. That's what it seems to say. Up until the time of sprinkling, it doesn't become God's, even though it may have been set aside, and even though everything else, that's what the Mishnah seems to say. Before Zrikas Damim, there is no real Me'ila, not in the parts that are destined to go on the Mizbeach, and not in the meat. La'achar Zrikas Damim, however, after you sprinkle it, Mo'alin Be'emurin, then there is Me'ila on the Emurin, because again, those are now going on the Mizbeach, those are God's. Ve'ein mo'alin bebasar, but still it remains no meal on the basar because that can be eaten by, again, whichever parties are considered the bilim on this. Alzeh v'alzeh, and in both cases, chayav v'alav mishum pigol nosar v'tameh. Again, there is pigol nosar and tameh if you did something wrong. nimta ma'aseh damim kachim kalim kulan lahachmir. So it turns out that, again, actions of blood for kachim kalim are all lehachmir. Okay. All good with the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Perfect. Says the Gemara, very interesting diukim over here. Katani ein moalin bebasar. It says ein moalin bebasar. There's no me'ila on the basar. Okay, there's no me'ila on the basar. In the Baikache Kadashim, okay, after Zrika, ein moalin bebasar. Says the Gemara, an interesting diuk. I'm not quite sure what's prompting this, but says the Gemara, me'ila hu deleka ha'isura ika. Even though there's no me'ila, it's still aser. Okay? It's still aser. Still aser. What's going on? And if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, right? Mashmaha isura ika lekohen ha'ochlan. We're talking about if a kohen went and ate this animal, the part where he's presumably allowed to eat, it's aser to eat it. Maybe he means the part that he's not allowed to eat. It's very hard to understand. Says the Gemara, V'amai, ha'memona de kohen hu, but it's the kohens. Why on earth would we say over here that there's an iser for the kohen to consume it? It's the kohen stuff. Well, why would there be an iser? I understand there's no me'ila, but why is there an iser? Doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, ha'memona de kohen hu, right? Lo kasha, mishum din nasif reisha mo'alin, nasif seifa in mo'alin. Says the Gemara, you're right. The diuk was for some reason, I don't know what we were thinking, the diuk was incorrect. It doesn't mean to imply that there's an isser. The reason why it says ein moalin, which sounds like maybe there is still something else that only me'ila is lacking, but it's not 100% kosher, that was an incorrect diuk. Why? We're just contrasting it. In some cases we say moalin, in some cases we say ein moalin. So that's why I use the word ein moalin, not to say that there's no me'ila, but there is something else, simply because we're contrasting mo'alin and ein mo'alin. That's it. Okay, so again, what the Gemara is essentially saying is the original suggestion that there was something wrong is incorrect. There is absolutely nothing wrong. The kohen should feel free to eat the meat, which, again, it's hard to understand what's going on here, honestly. I'm not quite sure what the original hava mina was as to why the Gemara would think otherwise. Maybe because it doesn't say mutar lechol or something. But ultimately, the Gemara says there's no problem over here, right? And you can see, right? Nasi v'seifa, look at Rashi. V'hayte ketani ein mo'alin lav dafka. Dimashma mi'ilahu delo. Right? Elam yishum, ditana resha, kodem zrika mo'alin babasar, da'am mo'alin dafka hu, da'kati ein bo'u etter lakuanim. Tana seifinami ein mo'alin. Again, all the Rashi is saying is that don't make this diuk. Okay? Then the Gemara is going to do something even stranger. Ima seifa, let's read the seifa of the Mishnah and the latter part of the Mishnah. Bikachim kalam kulu lahachmir, and by kachim kalam, the blood always makes it more stringent. Kate said, Bisar kachim kalam, fnei zrikas dam, basar kachim kalam, shnei zrikas dam, ein mo'alin behen, uvei murehen, vein chayavan aleim, mishum pingon losir vitame, laachar zrikas dam, ein mo'alin behen murehen, vein mo'alin bebasar. Okay, so again, what makes it more stringent? Okay. We said in the Mishnah, the Bekachim Kalim, beforehand everything's fine. Afterwards, you have Me'ila on the parts that go on the Mizbeach, particularly the Imurin. However, when it comes to the Basar, Ein Mo'alin. Right? So again, from the language of Ein Mo'alin Bebasar, okay, says the Gemara, Me'ila hu delaka ha'isura ika, makes the same diuk again that we just said was not such a great diuk. So again, it's very hard to understand what's going on here. Right? And again, it sounds like there is an iser for the Yisrael to eat it. It's very hard to understand what's going on here. Okay? But this is what the Gemara says. I can tell you what the Gemara says. I can't quite understand logically why the Gemara is doing this again and again. And ask the Gemara, right, V'yamai, ha'mamona de'vailim hu. We're asked a very strong question. Why on earth would it be aser to the balim? It's theirs. It's their money. They brought the korban. Now it's for them to eat. What do you mean, don't eat it? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chanina liyotzin for Rabbi Akiva hi. Rabbi Chanina says, you know what? This is actually referring to a case where you took the animal out at the beginning. That's why there's an iser here. You're not allowed to eat it. And it's Rabbi Akiva in the previous case because ki Amar Rabbi Akiva zrika mo'elas liyotze l'streifa. Where did Rabbi Akiva say the zrika takes it out of? Mi'ila, where? When you're in regards to the fact that it's mutter for you to burn the animal, avala achilahu delo maratze. When it comes to permitting you to eat it, it doesn't make it kosher again. If it was pasul because it went outside, Rabbi Akiva is willing to say the mizrika will take away the me'ila, but he's not willing to say it allows you to eat it. And that's why I use the language of ein mo'alin, because it is aser to eat. Hadron alach, kad shekadashim, mazel tov on finishing the first perek. Next week, God willing, we will pick up from Ches Amud Aleph.
Maybe we'll review that part tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Shkoyach, so I'll see you on Sunday.